Today is the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is also the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything from the beginning. I was set up from eternity, and of old, before the earth was made. The depths were not as yet, and I was already conceived. Neither had the fountains of waters as yet sprung out. The mountains with their huge bulk had not as yet been established. Before the hills I was brought forth, he had not yet made the earth, nor the rivers, nor the poles of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When, with a certain law and compass, he enclosed the depths. When he established the sky above and poised the fountains of waters. When he compassed the sea with its bounds and set a law to the waters that they should not pass their limits. When he balanced the foundations of the earth, I was with him, forming all things, and was delighted every day, playing before him at all times, playing in the world. And my delight is to be with the children of men. Now therefore, ye children, hear me. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, and that watcheth daily at my gates, and waiteth at the posts of my doors. He that shall find me shall find life, and shall have salvation from the Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And Judas begot Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begot Esron, and Esron begot Aram, and Aram begot Aminadab. And Aminadab begot Naasan, and Naasan begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Booz of Rahab. And Booz begot Obed of Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. And David the king begot Solomon, of her who had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begot Roboam, and Roboam begot Abiah. And Abiah begot Asa, and Asa begot Josaphat. And Josaphat begot Joram. And Joram begot Ozias, and Ozias begot Joatham. And Joatham begot Achaz. And Achaz begot Ezekias, and Ezekias begot Manasses, and Manasses begot Amon, and Amon begot Josias, and Josias begot Jeconias, and his brethren in the transmigration of Babylon. And after the transmigration of Babylon, Jeconias begot Salathiel, and Salathiel begot Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begot Abiud. And Abiud begot Eliashim, and Eliashim begot Azor, and Azor begot Sadok, and Sadok begot Akim, and Akim begot Eliud, and Eliud begot Eleazar, and Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. I was with him forming all things and was delighted every day, and my delight is to be with the children of men. These words are taken from the epistle for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, each year, people across the world celebrate their birthdays. Some desire big celebrations to honor the day on which they were born. Others prefer smaller ones. And then there are some who like to forget their birthday altogether. But one of the earliest recorded birthday celebrations is the birthday of Pharaoh, which is mentioned in the 40th chapter of the book of Genesis. Certain authors thus conclude that such birthday celebrations began with the ancient Egyptians. Down through the centuries, however, birthday festivities have developed and have been extended to people of all classes, whereas in the earlier times, only people of royal or noble rank celebrated a birthday. Holy Mother Church, however, does not typically celebrate birthdays the way we do in the world. For instance, instead of celebrating the day on which a saint was born, the church usually celebrates the day on which that saint died. And thus, in many cases, the church appoints the very day of the saint's death, that is, the day of his birth into eternal life, as his feast day. Now, to worldly-minded people, this might seem odd. It might even seem morbid to some people. But it just goes to show you how diametrically opposed the views of the world are to the views of Christ and his church. The world looks at things with earthly eyes, rejoicing at the beginning of earthly life. But the church normally does not care for earthly birthdays, but instead looks forward to one's birth into heaven. There are, however, three exceptions to this general rule. For the church does celebrate the birthday of three persons each year. On December 25th, of course, the church celebrates the birth of our divine Savior. On June 24th, we celebrate the birth of St. John the Baptist, the precursor of our Lord. And each year on September 8th, we celebrate the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today, then, is the birthday of our Blessed Mother. And on this joyful occasion, I would like to tell you a true story, which took place on a September 8th many years ago. On the Feast of Our Lady's Nativity, a certain mother brought her 4 or 5-year-old daughter to Mass. After Mass, the mother led her little girl to the altar dedicated to Our Lady, and there she knelt before the image of the Blessed Virgin. Her little girl, of course, as children are wont to do, followed her example and knelt down. The mother then leaned towards her daughter, and pointing to Our Lady's statue, she began whispering in her ear. "Today is the Blessed Mother's birthday," she said. And then to bring it down to the little girl's level, the mother added, "It's Jesus's mommy's birthday." Hearing this, the little girl's face lit up with a big smile. She knew that a birthday meant a celebration. And so she quickly jumped to her feet, and she began quickly clapping her tiny hands together. And then in a sweet voice, she started singing, "Happy Birthday to Our Lady." The smiling mother attempted to quiet her child, but it was to no avail. As the little girl at length came to the end of her song, she took a deep breath and excitedly said, "Now we have to blow out the candles." And saying this, she began to huff and puff at the twinkling line of vigil candles that were set before Our Lady's altar. It was in this way, my dear friends, that this little girl, in the simplicity of her heart, honored the Blessed Virgin Mary on her birthday. And how pleasing these innocent birthday wishes must have been to the Mother of God. How Our Lady must have smiled upon that child. The birth of Mary, writes St. Peter Damian, is the beginning of salvation and the origin of every feast. For behold, he says, the Mother of God is born. And so it is, with good reason, the saint concludes, that the whole world should rejoice today. And rejoice we should. For the birth of Our Lady was a signal of hope for a lost world. It was, in a certain sense, a warning shot fired at Satan. The woman destined to crush his proud head by bringing forth our divine Redeemer was in the world. and his time of tyranny was coming to an end. The Nativity of the Blessed Virgin was thus, we may say, the beginning of our redemption. The fathers of the church tell us that from all eternity, Almighty God specifically chose Mary to be his mother. And because of this, he prepared and he adorned her, the future mother of the Savior, with his most special gifts. She was, as you know, preserved from the stain of original sin and filled with the fullness of grace. Her soul was the purest that God had ever created. She possessed the heights of beauty both in soul and in body. In short, she was, as St. Alphonsus says, she was born a saint and a great saint at that. How privileged we are, my dear friends, to have the Mother of God as our advocate in heaven. And how truly blessed we are to have her for our mother too. How grateful we should be to our divine Savior for sharing her with us. You know, all too often I think that there is a tendency to look at the word mother in reference to the Blessed Virgin Mary as a figure of speech or as some sort of metaphor with regard to ourselves, as though she were our mother in name only. But nothing is farther from the truth. For as he hung in agony upon the cross, our divine Savior gave his own mother to be the mother of all the faithful. That little girl who sang happy birthday to her in the church, she understood this to a certain extent. In her mind, Our Lady was a real person who was celebrating a real birthday. She was our Lord's mother, and in virtue of our baptisms, she is our mother too. And as our natural mothers have nurtured us, carried us in their arms, and watched over us, so too does our Heavenly Mother. She nurtures us in the spiritual order by obtaining and giving graces to us, because as the fathers of the church teach, all the graces we receive come through the hands of Mary. And she is always ready to pick us up in her arms and carry us when we are struggling or having a difficult time, provided we run to her just as earthly mothers do. What a mother we have in heaven. What a mother we have. Let us then celebrate our Heavenly Mother's birthday with great joy, just as we would our earthly mothers. And let us make it a point to give Our Lady a gift or two for her special day. Some time ago, I came across an interesting and somewhat humorous article, which was titled, What Mom Wants for Her Birthday. The article was written based on a survey that was taken by mothers age 30 and older. The surveyor asked these mothers what birthday gift they most desired from their children. And while in the article the author does enumerate a number of gifts, I chose a few that I think Our Lady would most appreciate. At the top of the list was something so simple that one would hardly think it was a gift. It was a phone call from one's children. Many mothers expressed their grief that since their children were grown up and out on their own, they did not hear from them as much. And so all these mothers wanted for their birthday was a phone call. This, my dear friends, is something we can give our Heavenly Mother too. We cannot, of course, pick up the phone and call heaven, but we can pick up the beads of our rosary, and we can make, as it were, a 15 to 20 minute call to Our Lady. We can converse with her through the Hail Marys and through our meditation on the mysteries of the rosary. We can tell her how much we love her, We can ask her for help and guidance. And all of us can learn from her holy example. And how much Our Lady would appreciate this gift. Another gift, which according to the survey is most desired by mothers, is a visit from their children. This, too, is something most pleasing to our Blessed Mother. After Mass, we can pay a visit to the statue of Our Lady right here in the chapel. There we can say a few prayers or light a votive candle in her honor. Or if time and circumstances do not allow us to visit her here, we can pay a visit to an image or statue of Our Lady in our own home. And there we can even bring her some flowers and place them before her as an outward expression of our love. A bit further down in the article, the author mentions that a number of mothers said that a box of chocolate or some sort of candy was the gift that they wanted from their children. As many of you surely know, in a box of chocolate, there is usually an assortment of kinds and flavors. Well, we can put together a box of spiritual chocolate for Our Lady in various little ways. An extra mortification or sacrifice for love of her, a special act of kindness to another, or even just a smile when we don't feel like smiling. These and so many other little practices, if done for Our Lady, can make up our box of spiritual candy for her, and it is something that she will certainly enjoy. The final gift that I think Our Lady would most appreciate is one that was requested by a number of mothers, and I would assume especially by mothers with younger children. For their birthday, the only thing these mothers wanted was for their children to be good. And I can tell you from experience, having grown up in a house with four brothers and a sister, this was a gift my mother asked for every year. But this is also something we can give to Our Lady. We can be good by striving to keep her divine Son's commandments, by avoiding the occasions of mortal sin, and by making greater efforts in the practice of virtue, especially the virtues of charity, purity, and patience. These are among the gifts, my dear friends, that we can give our Heavenly Mother for her birthday. But of course, as good children, we should not content ourselves to give these gifts to Our Lady only on her birthday. We should give them frequently. In fact, we should give them every day. We should give them with hearts full of love and without considering how much we must sacrifice to give them, what it must cost us. Let us never forget it is Our Lady's pleasure to be with us. It is her joy to be our mother. Through the Holy Ghost, she tells us this herself in today's epistle. My delight is to be with the children of men. It's as though she were saying to each one of us, my delight is to be with you. May it ever be our delight to be with her. May it ever be our pleasure to give gifts of love to our Heavenly Mother. And may we ever strive to live as befits faithful children of Mary, so that one day, like that little girl who sang to her in the church, we may sing to her in heaven, where we may partake of her joy, a joy that will never end. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.